Welcome back. I'm Gary Parr.
And I'm Christine Williams.
You're listening to Fiber Talk, the midweek version of that twice weekly podcast for people who make fine art with needle and thread.
Yes. I'm making fine art right now.
I'm not. I'm sitting here watching Spectra run across my screen. Thanks a lot.
You're welcome.
So I got to go. Last week and a half, I was in Phoenix.
Yes.
And I said I was going to take my Mary Corbett embroidery along, and I did.
Okay, good. How'd that go?
It went extremely well. It was.
Of course it did.
I did in the 10 days, we had to work, because we always have to work, but had to work, and then our son and daughter-in-law were with us for a good portion of the time, so it was toward the end that I actually got to stitch. But I sat down. It was an interesting experience because I sat down and I'm just doing a C. I'm just putting flowers and stem stitch on a C, lazy daisies. And so, and Mary Corbett says, start with four French knots spaced out, and those are going to be your four main flowers, and then you build off of that. So, all right, I did that. That was easy. And then I put in the four flowers. And the first one's kind of wonky because it'd been a while since I did a lazy daisy stitch, especially a flower's worth of them. And then the other three got better. And then it was, I kept looking back at Mary's chart, Mary's photo, to see where I was supposed to put the next stitch. And I'm studying it and studying it, and then a little light went on in my head. What are you doing, idiot? You know, she's showing what she did. But generally, you're putting green leaves around flowers. Put them in. They don't have to be in the specific position at the specific angle. Put them in. And so then I just closed. I have the her ebook for that on my iPad. I just closed it and started putting in leaves. And it was kind of fun because it was me. You know, it wasn't me in a chart. It was me.
I know. This is exciting.
It was weird.
This is the first time I've heard you. Yeah, but you're happy about it.
Yeah, it was very strange. And I'm just kind of sitting there. I put a couple in. Wait a minute. I'll put a couple more in here. And then you're supposed to fill in with French knots around, you know, as if they're flower buds. And I put a couple in. And I thought, well, I should put a leaf there. I thought, no, I can fill that in with a couple French knots. So I'll do that. And, so it was fun. And so I got that done and got started on the next. There's two clusters, one at the top left and one on the bottom right of the C. And so I got started on the second one. So I'll get a picture up, but, it was an experience. Cause then just put them in. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. That's exciting. Yeah. And it's kind of nice. Once you do it one time, and you realize that, you know, the world didn't end and you didn't have, you know, some travesty. Like, no, the French knot police didn't come banging on your door to tell you it was wrong. Right. And then it's nice because then you do it. It's like what I was saying when I was stitching that stump work piece where I was stitching along the lines of a stem. And I said, you know, I could stitch along the lines, and I did that. And then I sort of looked at it, you know, I kind of held it away from my face and looked at it a little bit and said, you know, if I had just looked at this and stitched it the way it should have flowed, it would have worked better. And it was just because the lines were a tiny bit off or something. But I learned that sometimes it's better to trust your eye than it is to trust the instructions. And it's not that the instructions were bad, they were fine. It was just that the way that I was stitching it, if I had deviated from the line and gone with what flowed better, it would have made more sense and it would have worked better. Yeah. So learning to trust that eye and look at it and say, that's kind of a useful thing to do. But it is kind of intimidating if you've only ever stitched a chart, because the whole idea of a chart is to follow it exactly.
Right.
And this, it's not that at all. And there's no penalty for, you know, not having the, you know, 45 square knot or French knots because Mary had 45.
Right. Exactly. Right? Yeah. That's yeah.
It doesn't
exactly
work that way.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and then I was thinking back, you know, because I was thinking back. Well, I've done embroidery, but then I realized what I remember doing with these kinds of stitches was crewel work on a stamped piece of cloth.
Yes.
So I had lines to follow and instructions on how to fill it. This is literally the first time I've had a blank piece of cloth, except for the pencil line for the C, and some general and some instruction. But it's all on me, and so it was a fun adjustment. And actually, I'm pretty pleased with it, with what I got so far. So yeah.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah. I'm glad. I think that's a good step.
Yep. So it was just a different experience. So. Yeah, good stuff. And then, you know, we last time we talked to Mary, she talked about how her backside is, the backside of her stitching, that is, you know.
Nice, scary.
Well, I said it and I thought, wait a minute, that didn't come out right. So I had to clean it up and then I probably made it worse. So, oh well. but anyway, that was the other part, having the muslin on the back of the linen. I could just bounce all over and I didn't care because nothing was going to show through. So mm-hmm. that was very nice too. And I'm using Floche and I love stitching with Floche. I think that's how you say it. Floche. It's such a nice thread. Yeah. So
how do you find it different from regular DMC?
It's just, it's smoother. It behaves and lays better. It's much more flexible, I think, is what it is to me.
Okay.
It's like, limp, I guess, but it's very, very forgiving, I think. And I'm probably not using the right words, but I just find it very easy to make it do what I want it to do and have it look good.
Yeah. Well, and that makes sense. If you're stitching like lazy daisies where you have to go around a curve and you want it to lay, like normally when you talk about cross stitches or a lot of needlepoint, you're trying to get every stitch straight. And with embroidery, with this type of thing, or with crewel, you want the thread to lay on the fabric, sometimes in a curved way. So you kind of have to get it to behave, if you will.
Yeah.
So that makes perfect sense.
And it has a real nice sheen to it. I like it. I like it a lot.
That's nice, too. Yeah.
So that was fun. And then the first lazy daisy, I remembered the one thing you always got to remember is when you make the little hold down stitch at the end mm-hmm. of the daisy petal, if you go into the same hole that you came up with, don't pull hard or you'll pull the whole thing right through. So made that mistake first one. It's like, oh yeah, you knew that. So and then I had to fish it out, which is you know, it's very small, so that was kind of annoying, but I got it, and then I didn't make the mistake again. But yeah, I pulled nice and tight like a needle pointer should. And right, popped it right through. It's like, you got to be kidding me.
Yeah. Yep. It's so. It's a totally different hand. You know, it's a different feel. It reminds me, so you've stitched chain stitch then, right?
Oh, sure.
And it's basically like lazy daisy, but just
in a row.
All in one long line.
Right.
So one thing that I learned to do, it makes it sound like it's this complicated thing. once I was shown how to do this thing, I never will stitch it the regular way, is to stitch a reverse chain stitch. So you stitch the hold stitch. So when you do a chain stitch, you do the loop and then you do another loop through it, right? You come up and then you go through. So the reverse chain stitch is the first stitch you take is one little tack stitch. And then you take up your needle, you know, let's say a quarter of an inch from there. And then you go through your tack stitch and then back down through the same hole. And then you come up a quarter of an inch. So you're making, instead of coming up and then making the loop and then tacking the loop down, you're going the other way. It's so much easier that way.
Ooh, I'll give that a try.
Infinitely easier. So all you have to do is put in the first tack stitch.
Right.
That would be the last stitch in your chain. And then do this because you get the tension perfectly. So instead of stitching, you know, coming up and then going back down through the same place almost, mm-hmm. and then sort of letting that loop kind of hang there limp and then coming up sort of where you want it to be and then having to tug it to get the tension, you already have the tack stitch there, and then you're just coming up, going across the fabric underneath the stitch that you've already made, and then going back down. And then when you're going back down, you tug it to, because it's already laying flat on the fabric, you stitch and you pull it until it's just exactly the way you want it to be, and then it's done. So there's no guessing.
I'll be trying that. Yeah.
It's so I didn't. I've so never you get a more consistent a lazy daisy. Exactly. It comes out perfectly. But what Lazy Daisy, as you're talking about it, I was thinking, that would work with that as well, because then you could get the tension of each of those loops perfectly, because you're going to do your little tack stitch first, however far out you want it to be. And then you would, stitch your loop second. So I think it depends on how you want it to be. If you want it to be very, very consistent, that would be a perfect way to do it, because you could make them very equidistant around a circle. If you wanted to do it a little bit more freeform, then going the regular way, I think, would work better, because then you're just kind of winging it, right? Which sometimes I think is a good thing.
Well, try it
the backwards way. It's a totally different feel.
Yeah. Well, and that's what I was also reminding myself, is every Lazy Daisy does not have to be exactly like the previous one. And
correct.
I like the look. I don't know if it's a good look, but I like the look I got. With some variation within the petals of the flowers. So,
I think for a flower, it makes sense, because flowers aren't symmetrical. Well, sometimes they are. And I guess it depends on what you're going for. Sometimes you want that and sometimes you don't. But with a chain stitch, you do want it to be pretty, pretty exact.
Yes.
You don't want a chain stitch to be uneven. So try it backwards.
Okay.
It's not intuitive the first time you do it, so you have to think about it a little bit, or just Google reverse chain stitch, and I'm sure there's a video. But basically just throwing in a tack stitch at the beginning and then doing it backwards the entire time, a million times easier.
All right. It's on my list. I'll break out the doodle cloth and practice. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
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 And then using the tulip needles for this. Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Yep, like those needles. Mm-hmm.
I'm jealous. So I ordered tulip needles from Kentucky, from Hancock's of Paducah, and they got all the way, because I just moved from one house to another in the same town. They got all the way to my town post office, and then the post office got all confused and sent them back.
Thank you.
Yes. So I checked. I'm like, this is awfully long that they've been in the mail, that they should have been here by now. Let me check the tracking on this, and it's tracking that they're about to be delivered, and I'm all excited, and it shows that they're about to be delivered in Kentucky. I'm like, that doesn't make any sense. They shipped them back.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, I had to write and ask them if they wouldn't mind please resending them, because I really need them.
Yeah, you do, because they're very nice. The other thing I'd forgotten about embroidery needles, they're sharp.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They're sharp. Ouch.
They are that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Ouch. Mm-hmm. Got my full attention.
That's good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that was fun. That was a fun little thing. Yeah.
Are you getting that nice snap through the fabric?
Yes. Yes.
And then the sound of the fiber going through, because you've got the two layers then. Mm-hmm. That's such a satisfying sound.
All of that. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Good. I'm glad you've joined us.
Yeah. No, it's fun, and as I wanted, a perfect little project to take on the road with me.
Yeah.
Simple little thing to throw in a bag, and off we go. So, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, really good. Yep, so I got to do that, and then while I was in Phoenix, and we'll talk about the Sarah Brazier stitch-along at the back end of this show, but I got, of course, went to the attic and got to do a video with Jean Lee about the, because she has the model for Sarah Brazier. She has that at the attic. So I got to see that firsthand and do a video with Jean. And we'll be putting that up in the next few days and get Jean's insights into the sampler itself, and then how she would stitch some of the areas, which was very helpful. So
that's great. That's going to be a huge help.
Yeah. And for those who wonder, and a lot of people are just keeping up anyway, but Jean seemed to be doing well. She was good. I mean, she was the normal Jean, so that was good to see. Yeah.
I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah, it's extent of what I know, because, I didn't want to dwell on those things.
No,
talk about samplers. So I had a nice visit with her, and of course, always fun to go to the attic and just see stuff. Because you can see stuff for hours. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. So I got to do that, and then my last night there before we came home, which would be the last night that we were there, as I think about it, I got to go to visit Vicky Lopiccolo Janet and her daughter Megan, and they live outside of Phoenix. And Vicky, their needlework press is their business. And reproduction samplers is their thing, along with a lot of other things. And related to, like, they make microfiber cloths that you can buy with that have samplers printed on them and all kinds of things. But I got to go to Vicky's house and see her collection of the actual samplers, you know, antique samplers.
Oh. Yeah. Wall,
walls, I mean, all over the house, all over the house. So,
okay.
Yeah, so we did a video of some of them, and then she has a book that she's had out for some time that I didn't know about called A Schoolroom Alphabet, and it's based on this large handkerchief that is copper plate printed with blue ink. And it's a schoolroom scene, and then there are circles all the way around it, one for each of the letters of the alphabet. It's an impressive thing. I forget how old it is, but then her book, The Schoolroom Samplet, Schoolroom Alphabet, Vicky and Megan's book, has 12 projects all based on this handkerchief, and it's a lot of fun. So
that is fun.
Yeah, I got to see the handkerchief, and then got to see their samplers. The fun thing about the samplers, a couple of things, and we show them in the video, is some of them were, a couple of them were not framed. So we got to look at the back side.
Ah, good.
And,
yeah.
Yeah, the girls are normal, just like us, you know, carrying threads, loops, everything. Yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
No different. So that was fun to see. It's like, oh, okay. So I'm no better or worse than they are, yes. And so that was neat.
Better or worse than a 5-year-old.
I know. That's, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And then she has two small samplers done on perforated paper, antiques.
Oh, okay.
One Ooh. Done by a boy, and we included those in the video. And that was pretty neat. And I hope they'll reproduce one. I don't think they've reproduced either one. But that would be neat to do on perforated paper. And
yeah.
Yeah. So that was different. I had not seen that. And one that was done by a girl, had two of them done by a girl a year apart, two long vertical ones. And so there's several of them in the video. We'll have that up, I don't know, next week or so. Paying jobs kind of sucking up time these days. But so I'll get that. I got to get that cleaned up. And then we'll show that. But yeah, that was a lot of fun visiting Vicky. And I'll put a link to this Schoolroom Alphabet book. You can still get it at Amazon, so I'll put a link for it. But it's a fun book, and it's a good alphabet. But then there's 12 different projects out of this thing, all based on this handkerchief. So that's pretty neat. So it was a lot of fun visiting them and seeing all those old samplers. And again, two people who know all about antique samplers. So yeah, a lot of fun.
Cool.
Yep. So let's see, what else? Oh, and then I was going to mention, in conjunction with my alphabets or my embroidery letters, one of the things I want to do is I want to make flat pieces like Vanna does to give them away as gifts. And thank you, Vanna. She just put up a video on how to do it. So there you go. So if you go to Vanna's YouTube channel, The Twisted Stitcher, her newest video shows you how to take a small piece of stitching and mount it and make a flat piece, you know, a sandwich board thing that with a back that flips out that you can sit on a table or a shelf or something and collapse it down and put it away and bring out something else. So she shows how to do that. So thank you, Vanna, for that. I'll be making one or two of those. Yes. So
I like that, because one of the things that I've been maybe troubled is a strong word, but troubled by is once you have a piece done, if you're not going to stitch it into a pillow or a thing, if you want to hang it or put it, display it, you basically you have to frame it, right?
Right.
And framing is really expensive. Yes. I don't know how it is where you live, but where I live, it's astronomical. So if you have any sort of output, it's untenable. It's not a doable thing to do, to have all of your pieces framed if you are not a very wealthy person, you know. So I'm just trying to find ways around that. Like, you know, if I don't want to spend hundreds of dollars to frame a piece, what do I do? So is it framing it myself? Is it learning to block and frame things yourself, which then makes it, you know, affordable because you can buy the pieces and then do it yourself? Is it doing things like this where it's, you know, not framed into a structure, but it's on, you know, smaller pieces using, you know, affordable materials? So I'm just trying to, so that's kind of my latest thing is just how do we make this affordable for more people, you know, including me, because the more projects I get involved in and the more things I want to do, the more it starts building up into, okay, well, I need to find a way to do this where I'm not kidding up things and, you know, it's $100 here, $100 there. And before you know it, it's a lot. It's, you know, it's a lot of money.
Right.
So, you know, how do you do it? Is it, and I don't think that always the answer is, well, I'll just do it in DMC instead of silk. I think there are other ways to get the materials that you need or to, you know, to finish projects. So, cause I don't want to be the person who has 17 projects finished and none of them hanging because the next step of it is just too exorbitant to do.
Right.
So I like this idea of having other ways, and that sounds like a good idea.
Well, yeah, Vonna talks frequently about these flats and mm-hmm. and how making them is not hard, and then when you want to put them away, they're flat. So you can just put them in a drawer or wherever, and they don't take up a lot of storage space, but they're a very nice display. And so you can have seasonal ones, you get any number of things, but they're all, you know, and if you watch your video, it's all quite doable and it gives a nice finished look. And yeah, that's just it. You don't have the cost of framing, yet you are displaying your stitching. So, yeah. Yep. The other thing, when it comes to framing, I think I'd have to check with a framer, but I think one of the things is blocking and lacing. I think if you learn to block and lace
mm-hmm.
your piece and then take it in and then pay for a frame and someone to put it, you know, either just give you the frame or to put it in and cut a mat for you, I think that would chop down, because a lot of labor in that lacing, a lot of labor. And
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's something I want to learn is how to lace.
Well, and I don't think it's difficult.
No.
You know, nothing. I don't think it's tricky. I think it just takes practice. Right. I mean, it's just like everything else, right? You just need to jump in and do it. And I think maybe the reason a lot of people don't do it is because that isn't the fun part. You know, it's the reason people have 17 finished quilt tops and no quilts. Not that I would be that person, allegedly.
No. I wouldn't think so. Because you'd make a quilt top and then you'd finish it right into a quilt. Yeah.
Not that I have a quilt top that I finished before my son was born, and my son's 15 and I still don't have a quilt, but yeah. And then I found out that there are people who finish quilts, you know, that have long arm sewing machines, and that's what they do. And you send them your quilt top and tell them what you want the back to be, and they do it for you on a machine. And I thought that was the most magical thing I'd ever discovered in my life, because you could actually, you know, have your thing finished. But, and then it made sense, because that's the, you know, if you're not going to quilt, if quilting, the actual sitting there sewing it yourself, isn't fun, then, and the piecing is, then you end up like me and you end up with a quilt top and nothing to do with it. So.
Yep.
Yeah.
But it's a nice quilt top, though.
It is. And I, you know, I've done other, you know, quilts that I've made for other people I've finished, but the one that I made for me is sitting in a box.
Mm-hmm.
It's very sad, actually.
That is. Was it the Shoemaker's Kids? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. So, yeah, so there we are on that. And then we're going to run out of time. So we got to talk about the stitch along. But I have to mention my new favorite. You know, a lot of people do these needlepoint pieces that are text. So there'll be a border and a background, and then there'll be some saying or text of some kind. So this one, I tripped over
the home sweet home.
Right. That. Yeah. Yeah. Love is where the, you know, the love is where the whatever is. Yeah. Those kinds of things.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
So I ran across this one. It's a Gail Hendricks Squiggy Designs. I don't know what squiggy means. Doesn't matter. But yeah, Squiggy, S-Q-U-I-G-G-E-E designs.com if you want to get one of these. The saying, don't cook naked. I loved it. Yeah, yeah.
Sage advice.
Don't cook naked. Yep. Okay, good tip. So that's my new favorite needlepoint text design. Yes, and you can get that painted canvas, make up your own stitches. Go nuts. Yep.
I like that. I like it.
Your local needlework store will be happy to get you one of those. Mm-hmm. Yep. So, fun stuff. I had a great time in Phoenix, and only got to those two stores. Normally, I hit the other, the needlepoint stores. I just ran out of time, so it's next time. Next time we get out there.
Well, we have an agenda this time.
And then we have the Sarah Brazier 1829 Hands Across the Sea Sampler Stitch Along that we're doing with Sassy Jacks.
Yes.
Holy smokes, things took off. What are we at? 500
You could say that.
520 members. Yeah.
Yes. Which I'm so excited about. So we're going to have all these people to stitch with us. And it's really fun to watch because now the chart is starting to go out. So people are posting online that they've gotten their chart and that, you know, they're getting ready and everybody's buying fabric and starting to source fibers and everything. So it's getting underway. And yes. I'm happy to see that everybody, that there's a lot of stitchers. It's not just people that are tagging along. I think most of the people we were talking about are actually going to stitch with us. So that means I have to get my stuff.
Your stuff. Yeah, and for people who aren't interested in reproduction samplers, rest assured that we're not going to devote these midweek shows to the stitch along. And we are also working on things that will provide information related to the stitch along, but information that everyone can use. So we're not gonna spend every Wednesday talking about the stitch along, and we will try and have things that about the stitch along that are of interest to everyone. So, if you want to duck out now, fine. But we really are trying to make sure that it's of interest to everyone. So
and so that's kind of been a little bit of the motivation and how I've decided to stitch this is I'm going to do it very different, Gary. I'm not doing it like you.
Now this surprises me.
So and it all started because we talked about it and we decided, all right, well, how can we do it differently so that we can have something to talk about, right? And then I kind of got this kooky idea, and the more I thought about it, the more I liked it. And we talked to a bunch of different people not about that, and it just started percolating in my head. And so this is why it's not going to be just about the stitch along, because I am going to do it. And I looked online to see if I could find anyone who had ever done this before. And I can't say that no one has ever done it before, but I can't find any reference to anyone doing it before. So you are going to do yours on linen. Yes, right. 40 count.
I'm doing it on...
Okay, and you're using silk.
I came under the influence of the silk snob Gene Lee. And I was originally going to do DMC, and then she has this wand that she waves in the air, and then you stitch with silk. And so when I walked out of that store, it was, all right, uncle, I'm doing it in silk. So, yes.
Okay.
Doing it in silk on 40-count linen, yes.
All right. So here's my proposal. And I will say up front that this may be a terrible idea. And some months into it, I may be kicking myself for doing this, but I think I have to do it because I have to try, because it will be worth the experiment. Okay? You ready?
I'm braced. I'm braced. Yes.
Okay. So we know what samplers look like, right? Yep. Fairly light background or antiqued background, you know, aged colored threads or bright threads, either way. But silks, cottons, you have a pretty good mental picture of what a sampler should look like or usually looks like, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Uh-oh.
Now, all these samplers were stitched by, most of them, young girls, right? Figure average age 9, 10, all right?
Mm-hmm.
So remember when your daughter was 9 or 10. Remember the kind of things that she liked, right?
Yep.
So now if you, and I was thinking about this the other day. Now, if I was a 9 or 10-year-old girl and I let a 9 or 10-year-old girl loosen in a needle workshop and said, pick your fibers. So not a 9 or 10-year-old from 1829, but from 2018. Would she go to the DMC or the silk section? No. Where would she go? She would go right
Sparklies.
For the Krynek Metallics.
Sparklies.
That's right. Exactly. So I thought I would stitch this the way a 9 or 10-year-old girl would today, given you know, a girl of means that would have the ability to do so, right? So, and the way I'm going to do it and I'm going to make it work is I'm not going to stitch on a light-colored background. I'm going to stitch it on dark. So we're going to go completely the opposite. So I'm going to take I'm going to go with 36 count linen, and I bought a really beautiful dark cobalty blue fabric dye, and I'm going to dye the linen. So it's got this rich, not a navy blue, like that cloudy blue, but like a really rich blue. And then I'm going to look at I ordered all the proscribed colors in DMC so I could have them and look at them and sort of use that as a jumping off point because I want it to be inspired by, I want it, you know, close because the colors are symbolic. You know, the stag is the stag. It should be red-ish. But then I'm going to work in an appropriate amount of sparkle and bling, right? So I have been sourcing blending filament. So I actually wrote to Doug Krynek and asked him if he would help me out because I don't have a shop here that I can just go and sort of browse and sort of lay fibers down next to each other and figure it out. So he helped me out by getting me their color chart, which has all of the fibers on cards, like a Pantone chart. So if you don't have a shop and you need to know what Krynek is, you need to get this chart. It is phenomenal because not only do you have the colors that you could see online, but you have the textures. You can actually feel the fibers and see the thickness and how they reflect light and what they feel like. So you can get an idea ahead of time. So like the Japan fibers, the cords, like there's so many other things that I can use that I didn't even know I could use and wouldn't have ever thought of using. Because I was originally thinking I would just use blending filament, but a lot of the threads are thin enough that I could absolutely use them. So I am going to start with DMC, and then I'm going to work in different types of metallic fibers as I can, because the border, that whole satin stitch border, just is begging for it. The arbor that's over the stag is gold, so it really needs to be gold. There's a lot of things. The flowers themselves could be beautiful if they were combined with a little bit of pearl. There's a lot of places, I think, where a little bit of zhuzh would be fun. So it's not going to look like yours, and it's probably going to be tough to stitch because the fibers are going to be a little bit more difficult to work with, maybe. But the more I was thinking about it with, you know, DMC, it's two strands and I don't want to have to lay strands of thread. But with blending filament, if I do one strand of blending filament and one strand of DMC, I don't want to lay them because I want them to sort of overlap, right? That's the whole idea. So I'm gonna have to noodle around with that a lot to kind of see what's going to work and what isn't. So there's going to be a lot of, margin stitching, and there's going to be a lot of putting stitches in and taking them out. So it's going to be a gigantic experiment. And I am so excited right now.
This is going to be a fun ride here, I think. Mm-hmm.
It's going to be, and so I like it too because it's not just a sampler anymore, right? It's using fibers from needlepoint that are traditionally needlepoint fibers. It's going on a dark, very, very dark round cloth, which is itself a challenge, and you know, something that sometimes people shy away from. I will tell you, because I'm stitching on black right now, it is very difficult and it takes a lot of bright light and good eyeglasses. but it's well worth it because the effect is stunning because it's so striking. And the other reason I did it was simply selfish, that I have other samplers or other that I want to do the traditional, and I didn't want to have my entire house full of things that looked exactly the same. So I wanted something that looked completely different. So we're going to go dark fabric and Krynex and DMC, and we're going to see how it's going to come out.
Buckle up. This could be fun.
That's right. Buckle up is right. I think it's going to be so much fun to stitch because it's just going to be so, so wacky. And it's going to be fun to see it come to life. And I would imagine that little Sarah, given the opportunity, you know, if she had the choice between silk or DMC or Krynex, would probably want to incorporate some Krynex. So I'm gonna do this in honor of a little young girl. So there we go.
All right. This will be fun.
It's either going to be tremendous or it's going to be awful. And I'm committed either way.
All right. We'll see it play out. This will be fun. Mm-hmm. We're going to run out of time here. All right. We've got to get some housekeeping things in. A couple of people have wondered, expressed concern or whatever, that they had to buy their chart, thread, and linen from Sassy Jack's to be in the stitch along. No, not even close. No. We're partnering with Sassy Jack's to do this. Kim Young at Sassy Jack's is providing prizes for us as we go along, and we're just simply partnering with her, and we're doing this together, but you don't have to buy from her. You can buy from your local needlework store. You can buy the charts from Hands Across the Sea, though Nicola does not sell thread or linen. You have to get that at your local store or online somehow. But you can get charts from her, but hurry, because Nicola's down to less than 50 of them.
Very few.
Yeah, they're going fast. I will say that Kim at Sassy Jack's has a good supply. So if you're having trouble finding it, Nicola or Kim, and I think I think I can safely say the same thing for the Attic. So if you are normally a customer of the Attic, I'm pretty sure they have a good supply too. And then thread, linen is available. I know Kim at Sassy Jack's has ordered in preparation for this, a good supply of everything, so she's having no trouble fulfilling orders, and I think the same can be said for Jean. Overseas, the Fobbles Beverly Trembath at Fobbles in the UK is well equipped, and I guess not too far away from Nicola, well equipped to provide all that you need, charts included. She says she has a good supply. A Stitch in Time, Marianne Tiller in Australia, has plenty. And Traditional Stitches in Canada, Janice Malik Spencer, are three who have said, from overseas, who have said that they have a good supply. So if you're overseas and looking, those three are good sources if your local needlework store doesn't have it. And then I'll just, there's a list in the Stitch Along that I've encouraged stores to add to if they have a supply. So in the U.S., Sassy Jack's, The Attic, A Stitching Shop in Denver, Christine House, Gulf Coast Stitches in Nabari, Florida, Julie Rickert Evans, House Tyrol Needleworks in Williamsburg, Virginia, Paula Murata, and Stitching Post in Catonsville, Maryland, Michelle Hunter. They all have said that they have a supply. And I say a supply, they are going quickly. Nicola posted the other day that she, I'm sure, had the lion's share when this started. She was down to 52, That was several days ago. I'm sure that she's well below 50 now. So it's a limited edition. She printed 1,500. When they're gone, that's it. So if you want one, jump on these opportunities and get the chart. And it's a book. It's a 44-page book. I was looking at it last night, reading all the history that Nicola has in there, looking at all the different pages with all the stitching, and Nicola pointing out where there might be a problem. You know, the little girl didn't do as many stitches here, left out a stitch there. You know, those are all marked in there to help you so you don't get goofed up. But if you're interested, do that. And then if you're interested, whether you're going to stitch it or not, join the Stitch Along on Facebook. And there are 520 members now, which in less than a week we've done that. And already people, like Christine said, already people are posting charts and talking about what they're going to stitch with and asking questions. And there are several different kinds of ground cloth that are people, different colors that people are using. So that's interesting to watch unfold. And then in the next few days, we'll put up the video I did with Jean Lee where we explore the model. And Jean gives her insights and thoughts. And that was a lot of fun to do. So,
The other thing I was going to say, the other thing I think is an interesting discussion that's happening is because it's such a large piece, and at 36, I think it's 36 count, it's like 33 inches is the piece of fabric, 33 inches wide. So even if you're using scroll bars, you have to have 34 inch scroll bars, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. So having a discussion with different people about how they're going to manage that. So what's your infrastructure? Are you stitching in hand? Are you stitching on scroll bars? Are you stitching in a hoop? Different ways that people are tackling that challenge, that, you know, the fact that it's just such a large piece, that's an interesting thing as well. So, right. And I think what I may end up doing is trying it a bunch of different ways. Trying it in hand, trying it different, and that I might screw me up because it might not come out the same way, but at least at the beginning, just to kind of get a feel for what way works the best. My gut says to do it structured, but if stitching in hand works better because it's more portable, I may end up doing that because it's going to be a long piece to do. So to have it be able to travel with me might be a nice thing. So yeah, it's worth that discussion, because that's a universal discussion that's not particular to the piece.
Right. Yeah. Well, that one of the first people that I have lined up, we're going to have members of the group join us for short segments to talk about their experience. And the first person I have lined up already is Michelle Garrett, Flosstuber, goes by Bendy Stitchy. She stitches in hand and she's going to start it on the wedding day. And so I asked her if she would talk to us. So we'll get some insight right away on stitching something of that size in hand and what she does. Yes.
There's one other thing I don't know. So there's a floss tube summit that Arlene Cohen is organizing in New Jersey, which I know that you know about. But there was an interesting discussion in that group where they're going to have a stitch along group, because it happens to be the weekend of the wedding, where while the wedding is being broadcast, they're all going to get together in one room and stitch the stitch along.
Okay.
How do you like that?
That's fun. That's fun.
And there's enough people there that are doing it that they're going to, that
Excellent.
They've organized that.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent. Okay. So all that. And then on top of that, Nicola giving away a chart to five charts, one to each of five people. And all you have to do is send an email to me with a subject line, Sarah Brazier, 1829, in the subject line, and then just have to have the number of colors that are in the sampler. And it's one more than 22 and one less than 24. So just got to, just Sarah Brazier in the subject line and that number in the thing, and we'll enter you in a drawing. And then on the on the wedding day, we'll have five people who will each get to select a chart from the catalog of Hands Across the Sea charts, sampler charts. But again, you don't have to stitch the sampler to be part of the group. And already the group is a lot of fun, a lot of activity.
It is.
A lot of people sharing, yes. So, it's fun. Yeah, great stuff. So get your charts if you're interested. get your thread and linen. Do not have to wait till June 6th, which is the official start day. You can start whenever you get it. You know, start it and get going. Don't have to wait, but that's the day we're actually going to start the stitch along. And we'll have things planned for that particular day. But if you want to start early, knock yourself out. Go for it. So, all right, we got to end this thing Sunday. This is going to be fun. Jill Vendetulli, The Art of the Needle. Now, Jill is, I got to say, maybe one of the most creative freeform needlepoint people I think I've ever seen. I don't really know how she does what she does, but it's beautiful stuff. So we're going to talk to her, and we'll have that on Sunday. And with that, we're wrapped up. We'll have Jill on Sunday, and we'll be back on Wednesday. Thanks for listening.
Take care.